I was thinking about Brother Junior Pittman, his wife Ethel. We've been friends for years, and she was sitting. They went to
Old Charlie's restaurant.
Yeah, and they was eating together, and she had a stroke, and she just went into a coma and never did regain consciousness. Here's what I thought. What a way to go.
Amen.
Y'all don't think right. Just one minute down here, next minute in glory.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
We'll try to behave. Got your Bibles, open them up right quick. Book of 2 Corinthians, please. Well, I appreciate all the good singing. I do. I love good singing. I love that song.
Yeah.
Jesus is all I need.
Yeah.
Let me take why you're doing this. I pastored for years in Cincinnati. Years of pastoring. And we had a building, probably seat 400 or 500. And we was landlocked. We had no parking. A lot of times between Sunday school and preaching, our whole services would double. People would come to the preaching, and I'd rather they come to both, but if they're going to come to one, I appreciate them coming to preaching. But anyway, they'd come in, the building would just be filled with people. And that was back when interest was like, do y'all remember when interest was 17%?
Yes.
We didn't have no rich people. Honestly, we had a few real wealthy people, but that doesn't matter. Most of our people, we averaged around 400, but they were just poor people, And those that you think that would have a lot of means in this world would give a lot, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all just be quiet.
Okay.
They're not like that. So what we did, I traded 10.5 acres for, 17 acres for 10.5 acres around the church because I didn't want to move this building. And we had a new auditorium anyway. And so I asked the people to pray. I said, I want you to, we thought back then $125,000 was a lot of money.
Yeah.
We thought that. And, well, it is not in the eyes of God, it ain't a lot of money.
Yeah,
we made the Britain president. But listen to me. So I asked the people, I said, what we're going to do is we're going to fast and pray for a solid month. Then I want to ask you to do something that perhaps you've never went that place in your life. So we were in debt $125,000, bought the land, and this lawyer had said, I'll see to it that you never get this land around your property. He had a burr in his saddle from way he'd gone back. Did you ever see people like that? And this was 2 weeks before we got this property. So we all fasted and prayed. So I went and see Mr. Francis, and I asked him, he's a lawyer, big renowned lawyer, and here I am in that office, and I said, Mr. Francis, could I interest you? Would you consider, and he said he was a saved man, I said, would you consider praying? Don't give me the answer now. Would you consider praying over this? I said, we have a little better than 17 acres, on Tylersville Road. And boy, I seen his eyes sort of raise up to mine. Tylersville is a real zoned business commercial land that we had 17 acres. And it was probably worth twice that much that we gave for it. So he said, how can I help you, Mr. Sisson? And I said, well, we'd like to ask you to pray about, could we strike up a deal between trading land? Well, what do you need, he said. So he got out the plot of our property, and he owned it all the way around. He said, well, what do you want? I said, well, we'd like to have as many acres as you would give us for all the way around here. He had Parkinson's, his hands were shaking. And he said, well, where's this property at? And I told him, I said, don't give me the answer now. Go and look at the property, pray about it, and we'll meet back together again. So we met back maybe 4 or 5 days later. And it's like bass fishing. When you throw out a big old night crawler and you get such a hook on him. Greed does that to people. I knew I had him on the hook. And I said, well, tell me. He said, show me what you want. So I showed him what I wanted around the property. And I said, can we straight line it from there to there? And I said, all of this, and I knew I was going to get natural gas off of Bill Zirkle. I was going to get water and all this good stuff. Amen. So he said, okay, I think we can work out a deal. I said, well, what's the deal? He said, how about me? His hands are shaking. He said, how about from there to there and here to here? And I said, well, how about from there to there to there to there? I'd move his finger. He said, Well, no, I don't think I can do that. I said, well, could you split the fence with us? Y'all get that? Could we put the fence on the property line? He said, well, I think we can do that. So I traded him 10 and a half acres for 17 acres. That's 17 up there, so we got 10 and a half acres. Didn't have to move the property. I want you to watch this. Now, we're fasting and praying, right, Eric?
Amen.
We're fasting and praying. So I asked the people, I said, would y'all meet with me on Monday night? And I said, I want you to answer what God led you to do. Now, that $125,000 paid interest 7.5%. I said, would y'all consider giving 90% and you take 10%? Look at y'all's face. Don't y'all know anything about tithing? God could just as easily take it all.
That's right.
But 10%, I believe you ought to tithe and give offerings. Amen.
Amen.
So I encourage people to do that. And they just fast and pray about taking, giving God the 90, and us take the 10.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
One offering does $68,900. My treasurer and everybody else got mad at me over that because they had to count all that change. Man, I shouted, I run the aisles, I had a spell. Have you ever seen $68,000 in a pile? Huh? Y'all, don't anything ever excite you people? $68,000 in one offer. Glory to God, I shouted. They said, you can't burn that note. You know, we had a note.
Yeah.
I said, you watch me burn that note. I invited all the county commissioners. I invited everybody over to watch us burn the note. I put it in a washing tub up there and set fire to it, put lighter fluid on it, and burn it. But they didn't know I had a copy made. But I burnt that copy. Why do we think that's a big thing for God, a $100,000 note?
Amen.
There ain't nothing. Boy, God be scared.
Right.
Let me get off.
Amen.
Go on.
Thank you, Lord.
I thought y'all might have. Don't you dare do that to your people. Look at these little red faces. That's your place if you would, please. In 1 Corinthians, I want you to watch now. 2 Corinthians, I'll get your place again. Chapter 3. Everybody thinks that preachers. Did you take hard preaching, Randy? I feel so sorry for Mary. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 3. Now, all this bunch over here, Brother Junior, Brother Jack, Brother Larry, Miss Mona, and Miss Vicky, well, they all go to the same church we go together, so don't blame me if they come out like that. Oh, perk up, we'll eat after a while. Everybody thinks that preachers never get time. Oh, wait, give me that watch. Give me that watch. Give it to me. Give it to me. Everybody thinks that preachers never get tired. Never get tired, exhausted. If you love people and you care about people, you don't turn it off and on like a water faucet.
That's right. Amen. Right. Amen.
I had two funerals this week. And Larry Stringer was a good friend of ours. He's a member of the church. And I love Larry. His kids was little. And a funeral exhausts me. Y'all understand what I mean? It exhausts me. I mean, I'm just exhausted. I had a busy day yesterday. I mean, a busy day. So I come home last night. Went and took a shower. We're laying there. And this phone call rang. About 7:30. And said, Brother Sisson, what are you doing? I said, I'm just stretched out on the couch. I said, trying to rest. And this man said, Brother Sisson, would you go with me? I said, sure, what do you need? He said, a lady, a CPA here in this county, has started a women's battered ministry. Rachel's house. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to preach. You're going to, but I'm supposed to preach Thursday. You're going to go over too. You volunteering.
Draft.
So Thursday, that's done, decided to go over and help them. I think they got, what, six?
There's six or seven.
So last night at 7:30, remember, I'm exhausted. My head's killing me. My head is busted. So I said, I'll go with you. He said, well, this girl is under deep conviction. This woman. And he said, go with me. I said, all right. So here we go. I went over last night, and my head killing me, and she wasn't there. So he said, I'll go get her. And he brought her over to the house where Rachel came and her husband. She's got six women, I think, of just homeless, homes broke apart, drugs. I ain't going to tell you the rest of the stuff. So I went in there, and her name is Miss Cotton, and she's 28 years old. So I'm kind of hurt. I pulled this stool up on her real close to her, and I just started talking to her, just like me and you. And I said, can I help you? Let me help you. So Rachel didn't come in about an hour later, and I knew I connected with that woman when I looked at her in her eyes. No telling what she's been involved in. I said, right here, right now, God will forgive you of everything you've ever done.
Yes.
I said, he's knocking at your heart's door. And so we explained to her, and I thought I did, and I'll show you this in a moment. In just simple childlike faith, she bowed her head, and a river of tears just poured down her face. And she asked God to save her and forgive her.
Amen.
And I said, by the way, my headache went away. I told my wife, I said, sometimes I believe God just tests you to see what you made out of.
Amen.
Appreciate to the limit. But boy, she got wonderfully and gloriously saved. But what I'm telling you that for is goes right along with this in 2 Corinthians 3. I want you to look in your Bible. Please look at this. I want you to watch what I'm talking about. How many of y'all remember when Moses went up on top of Mount Sinai and he got the law?
Yeah.
And you remember when he'd been up there for 40 days and 40 nights in this chapter, his face come aglow.
Yeah.
His face came aglow. That's the Shekinah glory of God.
Yeah.
Do y'all remember what the children of Israel done? What did they do? They put a veil on his face. I want to read it to you. I want you to get it. It won't take me long if you just stay with me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to look, if you would, in verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look into the end, which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. That's verse 14. But unto this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Now look, but even unto this day, then Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall be taken, turn to the Lord, talking about Israel, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, now won't you watch, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, by everybody, I know Brother Junior, Larry, and Mona, they know my granddaughter, Kelsey, when she got married. You remember, was y'all at the wedding? I think you were. She was. Did you take your pill? She didn't take your pill either. But my granddaughter lived with us. My granddaughter lived with me. Bob, did you ever meet Kelsey?
Yes.
David's daughter, if you,
yes.
Sister?
Yes.
Randy, did you ever meet her? She lived with us. So my wife sort of mentored her, if you know what I mean. We mentored her. And she was young, and she's just like every other young girl. And she stayed at our home and come home. She's a good girl, always done exactly what we told her. But she got up to that dating age, and she started dating. I don't care who it was, I wouldn't probably approve of
it.
Probably not. But anyway, Kelsey was dating this boy, and God brought her into her life, a godly young man, loved the Lord, up in Shepherdsville, Kentucky. Now, I sort of approved on him. Sort of. But anyway, they fell madly in love. All right, they started planning this wedding. Now I want you to watch this. A veil, have you ever been to a wedding when the woman is veiled? How many of you have ever been in a wedding where the woman is veiled?
Yeah.
Why do they do that? Why do they put a veil over their face? Here we find he's talking about Israel. Now the nation of Israel is blinded. Everybody understand that? They've got a veil. They're still looking for the Messiah to come, and he's already came.
Yeah.
All right. If you read Romans chapter 11, they're going to be grafted back in. Now then, the Bible teaches that when Paul turned the gospel to the Gentiles, and we're Gentiles, we're not Jews. All right, but the nation of Israel, an individual Jew can be saved. Would y'all say amen? An individual Jew can be saved. But the nation of Israel is veiled or they're blind, right?
Yep.
Now, in this chapter, he's talking about Moses being up on the top of the mountain, and his face so glowed that they put a veil over his face. Now, go back to Kelsey. All right, Kelsey got engaged, and then they're planning their wedding. These women lose their mind. You can tell my wife, I mean, it's okay. They lose their mind. They're going to go to somewhere in Lexington, and they're going to pick out this bride's dress for Kelsey, right?
Yeah.
Would y'all say amen?
Yeah.
They, a bunch of women get together and go up there, and they have this bridal party that they pick out a wedding gown. All right, now listen to this. Kelsey is a beautiful young girl. Now, when she got this is a conflict. I want you to listen. Why do they wear white? Why do they roll out a runner? Why do they do all this? And why does the bride have a veil on her face? Well, boy, I begin to think about it and put it in my mind. Go back to Kelsey. Where we went, I pulled up in my old car, and Kelsey, a 34 Chevrolet, and she is in the back. And so they opened the door, took pictures of her in that. And she was a beautiful young lady. But when they got to the, she put her veil on, if y'all remember this at the wedding, and when they said, here comes the bride, all right, you stand and face the rear, we was looking back, and here come Kelsey. Here she came. She come walking up through here, and then they had their vows. And I thought to myself, Bradley, her husband, did not real see the real beauty of her until she lifted the veil.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all get this?
Yeah.
That he don't see the real beauty until he lifts that veil.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I wish you could have seen Bradley grinning. Looked like a colored man eating watermelon. But I'm saying Bradley was just grinning from ear to ear because he saw the beauty of his bride. Did you know there's going to come a day, thank God, one day God is going to lift the veil.
Yes.
And we're going to see why every trial, everything ever came into our life,
hallelujah,
and that's when the veil is going to be lifted. Now, we're going to preach for a moment. I can't do all of this in one setting, but I want to preach on when the veil is lifted. When the veil is lifted.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about it, Randy? What age did you got saved? You didn't take your pill either. Watch this. Until you were saved, at 11 years old, there's a veil dropped down.
Yeah.
Randy didn't understand the things of God, and you don't either until God lifts the veil.
Yeah.
Now, guess who does that? The Holy Spirit of God is going to lift that veil.
Yeah.
The bridegroom takes that bride, and he lifts the veil and puts it back. Am I right? Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
And he's gazing into her eyes. I begin to put it in my mind, the Holy Ghost of God is one that lifts the veil. Hey! You'll never get saved until you see your lost condition. That's just like last night when I went over there and seen that young girl. She's 28 years old. She didn't understand a lot of it. But boy, I could sure tell when the Holy Ghost of God lifted that veil. I said, Jesus died for you, paid your sin debt. God will save you. God will forgive you. I said, until you trust Him in simple childlike faith, you don't, yours a veil. You got cataracts on your eyes. You don't understand. But boy, I can sure tell when she connected. Amen. Moving on tears. I mean, a river of tears just flowed down her face. She said, I see and I understand now that I'm lost, but without God. That's what I mean. The Holy Ghost of God has got to lift the veil from your eyes. Amen. Glory. I was going to behave myself. Let me show you that. The church can't lift the veil. Being baptized can't lift the veil.
Yeah.
Turning over a new leaf can't lift the veil.
Yeah.
That young woman last night, and I say this with all due respect, she may not have a clue what happened to her. She may have a past a mile long, but the moment she got saved, God forgive her of her past.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
I mean, hey, God forgive her of everything she ever done. Amen.
Yeah.
Brother Sisson, you don't know what she's involved in. No, but I don't care.
Right.
Look at y'all's faces.
Amen.
Bless you, Lord. Y'all so quiet. Go back to 2 Corinthians 3. I want you to watch it. It'll get good if you'll hang with me. I mean, one of these days, God's going to present the bride. Ain't that a blessing?
Yeah.
I mean, to the bridegroom. But thank God, listen to me right now, quick. I thought about there's coming, and if I have any sense at all, when the man of God says, I now present you man and wife, and he says, you may kiss your bride. And he lifts that veil up, and he kept like one wedding I had. I mean, hey, he had never kissed her. He had never kissed his bride. They didn't kiss. They wouldn't even hardly hold hands. And when I pronounced the man and wife, son, and he, I said, you may kiss your bride. I said, son, you've got to come up for air sooner or later. I thought the poor boy was going to die. I had one wedding, won't you watch this? And when he looked and seen his bride, seen her, the bride coming, he's standing up here. He wasn't supposed to do this, but he started taking off, going to her. I grabbed him by his coat tail. I said, it ain't time to go yet, son. He done seen his bride, amen. Don't you remember, old man?
Oh, I remember.
You need help. What do you see when the veil is lifted? What do you see? I thought about it a lot. I was lost, wicked as hell. I'm not proud of that stuff. I was involved in stuff.
Bless the Lord.
At 19 years old, there's a day that I heard the gospel. I mean, literally heard the gospel. Salvation's not a matter of your head, it's a matter of your heart. Say amen.
Amen.
I heard the gospel, and guess what? The Spirit of God took that veil and put it over like this. What do you mean by that, preacher? And when you do that, when God, the Holy Ghost, lifts the veil, the church can't do it, baptism can't do it, I'll turn it over a new leaf, that can't do it. But when the Spirit of God lifts the veil, you'll see the goodness of God, amen. You'll see how good God's been to you, amen. I've got scars all over me. I got from one here to there that I know exactly what put it there. I know exactly every time I take a shower. But you see, when I look back and I see that and I think how good God's been to me, it's a wonder I ain't in hell. It's a wonder I'm not burning in hell. But I say, glory to God. God, you've been so good to me. He lifts the veil, amen. Hey, well, do you see how good God is? Ain't that a blessing? Homecoming 2016, God can lift the veil. And you'll see the goodness of God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Romans 2 verse 4. Look here. The goodness of God leadeth me to repentance. I told that young woman last night, I said, the goodness of God leadeth me to repentance. She didn't understand. I said, God's been good to you. All of a sudden, them tears started coming down her face. I said, God's been good to you. He spared you for this night, right here, right now, for everybody in this room, for you to hear the gospel and be wonderfully and gloriously saved. Amen.
Amen.
Guess what? Guess what? But I asked her, I said, now I want to ask you something, no ifs, buts, all about it. I said, if you used to die, would you go to heaven or hell? She looked at me and she said, well, I'd go to heaven. I said, what do you base that on? She said, because I just received Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
I was at the funeral. I bet Junior don't even know this. It's all wisdom. Junior, you know, Junior's got all wisdom. You ain't quit. If you did have, you wouldn't keep it. We was at the funeral. And I purposed him. Did you ever have anybody have a burden on your heart for just a burden? This man had worked for Larry for years and years and years, pouring concrete. Freddie, you remember Freddie?
Sure do.
I walked up to Freddie over at the funeral home, and I said, Freddie, I want to ask you something. I said, you remember me? Yeah, I remember you said, I ain't never forgot you. I thought, oh, I'm going to go there. But I said, Freddie, if you was to die, if that event was to happen to you, and I pointed towards the coffin, I said, would you go to heaven or hell? He teared up for a moment, stood there and looked me in the eye, and he said, I'd go to heaven. And I said, what do you base that on? He looked at me again, and he's from Honduras, and that's, you know, Roman Catholicism. He looked at my face, and he said, that man in there told me how to be saved. He told me about Jesus, and I got saved.
Amen.
The man is in the coffin.
Amen.
What I'm saying is, listen to me. When the veil is lifted, you'll see how good God's been to you. That ought to make you jump up and shout and say, thank God, amen. Hey, God lifted the veil, amen.
Amen.
Let me show you this. If you'll stay with me, the cream will come to the top. Go back, look in your Bible. Now watch it. He said, when the veil is lifted, then verse 15, he says, the veil is upon their heart. In other words, there's a darkness there. If you don't understand, if you're here and unsaved, you need the veil lifted, amen.
Amen.
The veil in itself. Number two, that was what? You'll see how the grace of God is when it comes into your life, but the veil has to be lifted. Does everybody understand that? Do you understand what I just said? Do you understand what?
Yes.
You were made in the image and the likeness of God. You were made to fellowship with God. You were made to do what? To enjoy God.
Right.
All right. But when the veil is lifted, you not only see the goodness of God, but you'll see how great God is.
Amen.
Lord, God, I'd say y'all would never get happy in the Lord if y'all seen the five family yard sale. About the only thing inside you. Me included. But what I'm saying is, do you ever realize how great God is? That God would save you, write your name down in the Lamb's Book of God?
Yes.
But it takes God, the Holy Spirit, to lift the veil.
Yes.
And the moment you do that, you not only see the goodness of God, but you see how great God is. Amen, brother and sister. Thank God. Hallelujah. I mean, that God would reach down and save a wretch like us, that's thrilling, amen.
Amen.
The veil has to be lifted. You, and by the way, when the veil is lifted, your life is changed.
Yeah.
Amen. When the veil is lifted, your life is changed. I told that young woman last night, I said, your desires change. I said, everything will change.
Right.
Your attitude will change.
Yeah.
I said, everything will change right here, right now,
right,
if you just receive Christ.
Amen.
I wish you people could see her light up. I wish y'all could see that. I mean, them other women, boy, they're all crying and having a good time. And boy, me and hey, well, I was too. I don't mind telling you, I love to see people get saved. Amen. But I'm saying the veil had done been lifted. And you see not only the goodness of God, you see the greatness of God. The third thing, you see how the grace of God is upon your life.
Amen.
Thank you.
Can you explain grace to me? Can you explain grace? I've been preaching, what, 50 years of my life? You can't explain grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. I've heard that all my life. I ain't got no problem with it. I mean, somebody said theologically, you know, superlatives. Grace is God, unmerited favor. True. But grace is God looking in your direction. Are you listening to me? What is it about you, Faith, that God would even turn and look at you? What makes it? I mean, grace is God even looking at you and saying, I'll die for Faith. I'll pay her sin debt. Hey, boy, I love that song when you sing that about Jesus. I love it. Oh, my little, when Mary saw Jesus.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Ready? Y'all, forget y'all. Look here. Mary carried Jesus for 9 months. Guess what? Virgin born. Never touched a man. Listen to this. When she gave birth to Jesus, and they, did you ever think about when they was in the stable?
Mm-hmm.
Who cut the cord? Look at y'all's faces! I believe it all in my heart, Joseph cut it.
Yeah.
But now guess what? But when Joseph put Jesus in the Mary's arms, can you imagine when she looked down at that baby? And he looked up at her.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Glory to God, Larry. That thrills me to death when I think about it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Nothing excites you, baby. Can you imagine that? She knew who he was. She knew she'd never been with a man. Hey, but now then she's got a little baby boy, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody said he's blue-eyed. Oh, get a life. You never seen a blue-eyed Jew in your life. He's laying there. I believe his complexion was perfect. I mean, everything about him. But I believe when he looked up and saw his mama, she looked down and saw her son.
Yeah.
Amen.
Glory to God. I love to think about it. And I believe she nursed him. I believe she breastfed him. But can you imagine Jesus laying in the arms of Mary?
Oh, amen. Amen.
Lord, y'all want nothing to get excited.
That's good.
Let me go back and we'll show you that. You'll see the grace, the goodness of God. You'll see the greatness of God, but you'll see the grace of God when the veil is lifted. Now, what do you mean by that, brother Sisson? Grace is sufficient for every trial, every difficulty. But for you that are here unsaved, listen to me, the veil has to be lifted. And the moment it is lifted, you'll see the grace of God, how that God was so graceful that He did what? He died for you, paid your sin debt, forgive you of your sins, forgive everything you ever done.
Amen.
That girl last night, I go back to her, she said, that just sounds too good to be true.
That's right.
That's what she told me. She said, that just sounds too good to be true that God would forgive me of everything I ever done. I said, I don't want to know what you've done. I said, no, we don't care. I said, all I want you to know is this, that Jesus died for you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen. You ever thought about it? That grace is God lifting you?
Amen.
Grace is God reaching down and picking you up.
Amen.
I venture to say, if you knew everything I ever done in my life, some of you wouldn't have nothing to ever do with me. If you knew how vile I was and what all I've been involved in. But see, God looks past my sin.
That's
right. It's all my need.
Oh, yes.
That's grace. Grace is God looking, but grace is God lifting us up out of our sin. And grace is God giving His Son for the likes of you and I. I can understand grace to a certain degree. I can understand. You got two girls, right?
Yes.
I bet you say you wouldn't give them girls for me.
No.
You know. Yeah, right. Quick, that come back in. And you're gone. That's what you think. That's what you're saying.
You're on your own.
But God gave His only begotten Son for the likes of you. That's grace, amen.
Amen.
When we were enemies, when we were ungodly, He died for every man, woman, boy, and girl, amen.
Yes, He did.
That's grace,
amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't understand
it,
but I sure like it.
Amen.
And watch this. When the veil is lifted, give us what you see. You'll see a little glimpse of the glory of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
I get a little glimpse every now and then.
Bless you, Lord.
I get to live against that.
Yes, amen.
I get to thinking about the goodness of God, the greatness of God, the glory of God. I have never seen the glory of God. Not really like I'd like to see it. But can you imagine, watch this, God lifts that veil back at the, and we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hello, look out now there. Can you imagine that? Like, me and you sitting at the head of the table, there'd be two high chairs, one for me and one for Noah. That's what everybody says. There'll be two high chairs at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do y'all understand the marriage supper of the Lamb? What a time the bride's going to have, amen.
Amen.
But I'm saying the veil has to be lifted. If you're here and unsaved, the veil has to be lifted. He can solve your. He can solve every problem you ever have.
Yes.
I deal 90% of my life at home trying to deal with families trying to keep their homes together.
Yeah.
A love affair would stop 99% of it.
Yeah.
And they say they're saved. Did I get real quiet then? If Eric's in love with Christ and she's in love with Christ, that's husband and wife, and they're both putting God in their first in their life, don't that sound like that would solve about 99% of their problems?
Yeah.
That's the answer. Amen. Stop all the divorces. Stop all the...
That's right.
Somebody asked me, Randy, don't you lie.
I know you ain't going to know it.
You and Mary ever have a lockdown drag out fight?
Only do we.
Do you? Do you win?
No.
Hey!
I do.
She said, you sure you do. Come out from that bed.
Fight like a man.
Yeah. She tells you you won.
But watch this. I don't know what people do that don't have Christ in their life. I know what they do. Listen, you've got two personalities. Everything's hard enough, but boy, when you have Christ in your life. My wife asked me the other day, she said, how come we don't ever fight anymore? I said, you want to? I did. Man, we'd get mad at each other. We were married 53 years. We'd get mad at each other, and she'd go to bed, and I'd go to bed, and we didn't even dare touch toe. She get up the next morning and look at her in my voice and say, go in there and tell your daddy some breakfast on the table. You tell her I don't want nothing. Ain't that pitiful? Amen.
Amen.
Go to work, come home from work, don't dare speak for about 2 or 3 days. Don't even look at each other. Don't touch each other.
Boy,
in your life. And you're at peace. Let me show you what happened last night. Let me show you what happened. But I told that young woman, I said, when you get saved, you're at peace with yourself.
Amen.
And I said, when you're not at peace with yourself, you're not at peace with nobody around you.
That's right.
Amen.
You find fault with everybody.
Right.
You criticize. My mom and dad, they just don't love me. They don't care. They're too hard on me. I've heard that junk so much. Amen.
Amen.
I've heard that. She told me last night, she said, I'd give anything. She was taken to a Pentecostal church when she's young. She said, I would give anything if I'd listened to my mom and dad. Isn't that amazing that how much when you get older like me, old as dirt, and you look back and you see how much knowledge your grandparents had, how much knowledge your mom and dad had?
Yeah.
They say, don't you go there. We didn't dare say why. How all our teeth would be missing. Y'all never had a whooping in your life. You didn't dare. And you say, watch this. Grandpa say, where are you going? What time are you going to be back? He come and get you.
Yeah.
He whooped you all the way back.
True.
But you didn't. You did not. I'm saying, I told my grandson, I said, Brett, I said, you'll know a lot more when you're 21 than you do at 19.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could save myself a whole lot of pain if I'd have listened.
Yeah.
You know what I've done over the years? I've been preaching for years. Did you ever do this? Did you ever just get out on your knees and just ask the young boy and the girl, don't marry? I have. I beg young girls, don't even date that thing. Boy got quiet then. I don't think young girls got any business doing dating unsaved boys.
That's right. Amen. That's
exactly right. Say a lot of hardship. Yeah. And I'm saying, I begged them, I pleaded with them. I have adults too. Don't do this. Don't do that. And they won't listen to you. It's like my grandson. We got a fireplace. He was real little. And Mary, I said, tell Dylan. And I'd say, Dylan, get away from that fire. You're going to burn yourself. That hot fireplace. Say amen.
Amen.
She'd say, Dylan, you know, grandmothers lose their ever-loving mind when they have grandchildren. She don't think Dylan does nothing wrong. If he burnt the house down, guess what she'd say? Didn't he? Ain't that awful? She knew that's just how she sees it. But I told him, I said, trying to go back to that part, I said, insert. He's in there taking that car.
That's when he's young.
And I'd say, Dylan, you're going to get burnt. I said, get away from there. And in a little while, I heard this. All he did was just touch it with his little finger, and you'd have thought he burned his hand was fried. You couldn't even see where he touched it. Hey, but I bet you can't get him to play with a fireplace now. Couldn't find out he burned. Listen to me. The veil has to be lifted. If you ever get the veil lifted by the Spirit of God, you'll see how good God is.
Yes.
You'll see the greatness of God. You'll see the grace of God. Then you'll get a glimpse of the glory of God. Everybody knows that, brother, we are in a mess. Our country's in a mess. Our homes are in a mess. Please listen to me. But we that are saved, the moment Jesus comes and calls us up out of here, have you ever thought about it? We're going to be changed just like this. And we're going to see the glory of God.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine, Brother Larry.
Thank you, Lord.
Can you imagine where they no misunderstandings, no pain, no sorrow, no Parkinson's disease, no cancer, no funeral home, no misunderstandings, amen.
Amen.
No more having to go to funerals where everybody's mad at everybody.
Yeah.
Ain't that a sight?
Yeah.
I've held funerals. I'll tell you the truth. Beheaded, standing up here at the head of the coffin. And they won't even come and view the coffin because somebody else is up there. Maybe the grandson's up there. Maybe the daughter's up there. Maybe the son's up there. They just fragmented. The whole family's divided up.
Yeah.
I hate doing that. I hate that. But when the veil is lifted, boy, we're going to get a glimpse of the glory of God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine me, John, with a brand new body?
Oh, yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
I love thinking about it.
You look my face?
Yeah. I'll be good. But watch this. Watch this. You think I'm bad now? Wait till I get a glorified body.
It is.
There he goes. There he goes. Don't y'all ever like to think, man, I'd love to see above. I'd love to see the galaxy. There's a whole lot of things I want to do when I get to heaven, thank God. I want to see John the Baptist. I want to see Stephen. Old Stephen was stoned to death and him calling upon God and said he fell asleep. And Jesus stands.
Amen.
Can you imagine that? Homecoming 2016. The veil's been lifted in my life. He can put your home back together. He can change everything about you. I want to stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. But he says, we behold life a mirror. I'm ashamed with our heads bowed. The piano's going to come. The piano's going to come. It's on me. And you say, Brother Sister, there's a day in my life that I know that the veil was lifted in my life. I now have spiritual discernment. I understand. You should be here. You know you're saved. You know that you know Christ as your Savior.
Yes, amen.
Thank you.
Isn't that wonderful? The veil has been lifted. Well, surely you ought to be excited about it.
Amen.
Surely you ought to have a thankful heart.
Yes.
That God would lift the veil from your eyes and let you see.
Yes.
I want to ask you, Henry, if you would come this morning and just get on your knees and say, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for giving me spiritual understanding.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, to know the veil has been lifted.
Yes.
Are you, if you're here and you say, Brother Sister, please pray for me. Would you let us pray for you? Just slip your hand up and say, Brother Sister, pray for me. God bless you, son. Amen. God bless your heart. Any kind of blessing. Hey, you ought to get your wife by the hand. You ought to get your husband by the hand. And you ought to just come and let Brother Andy help you. You're here and you don't have that inner peace that you used to not be in heaven. Your home may be in a mess. You're not in peace with yourself. You invite you to come, Father. Bless these hands that was raised. Oh, dear God, Lord, I too once, Lord, I was standing trembling. The veil had never been lifted. Lord, I believe with all of my heart that you're speaking to people's hearts. Please, God, take that veil from their eyes. Give them spiritual understanding. Help them in their homes. Help them in their daily walks. Thank you, Lord, to know that we have a relationship with Jesus. God, please bless this invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this. We love faith. You ought to be thankful. You ought to just say, God, I'm going to raise my hands and just thank you, Lord, that you lifted the lady. Come on. Brother Randy's here. I'm here. Brother Jack, here. We're praying this year. Hey, the veil was lifted, baby.
What a
happening inside of you. You don't understand. You just don't understand. You don't have no spiritual discernment about you. It takes God the Holy Ghost to lift the veil. And when you say, I don't understand. If you don't know where does it say, understand, it's in belief. Salvation is not a matter of your head, it's a matter of your heart. It's not some plan, but it's a person. Take something else that young lady said. She said, tonight, I think I'll sleep. First time in a long time. See, when you come into the right relationship with the Lord, it's wonderful.
Amen.
Just to be able to lay down on the bed and Lord have that peace and don't need to die, you just wake up and everybody tell me, you need to slow down. I got to go to the cardiologist Tuesday. You need to slow down. I can't find the brake pedal. I tell them all the time. Look here. Two open heart surgery. But I'm saying, what's the worst thing that can happen to me? Pull a Ethel. Pull Ethel. Have a stroke. Fall over on the floor. Hell ain't getting there. In a millisecond, I don't know what to blink your eye. Did you know you can't measure the blink of an eye? They say you can. But in a millisecond, faith, just like that.
No.
You're going to fall asleep. Just wake up in
heaven. Yes.
Can you imagine my spiritual eyes the first time I see Jesus? Can you imagine that, Eric? I mean, when you wake up, I don't believe this death is going to be as near as bad as you think it's going to be. I wasn't a bit more afraid on that eye on the table than you are taking another breath. Take a breath. I wasn't a bit more. I don't think it's going to be this bad because death is asleep. I don't know when I fall asleep. I just lay my head on the pillow, right? Sometimes I think about all the occurrences of the day. Next thing I know, it's morning time. About quarter after five. And I say, why in the world am I awake? I don't have to be. Oh, get it. I bet what time you get up, Bob? 10? No, I'm just kidding. What time? Really? What, 4 or 5?
That's
when you get old like us.
Sometimes around 5.
You get old like us.
Speak for yourself.
You don't get up. It's a blessing to be able to sleep all night. It is a blessing. I know people that walk the floor. I know the people that don't have they absolutely have no peace inside. Say again, Mary, please. Homecoming 2016, Kentucky Road Baptist Church. The veil was lifted from my eyes. And Jesus is all I need. He's all I need.
He's
next time you go to a wedding and you see a wedding and the bride is veiled, I hope God brings this to your commitment. about to go to the wedding, come out and squall like a mountain. The mail's lifted! Woo!